Will you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 15? Matthew, the 15th chapter, reading verses 35 and 36. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word. And Jesus commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Jesus gave thanks. Father, as we come before you again on this, your day, above all else that we might ask in this hour, O Lord, will you give us a thankful heart? In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. W.E. Sangster once wrote, "So far as Thanksgiving is concerned, the mass of people can be divided into two classes. Those who take things for granted and those who take things with gratitude. For granted or with gratitude? That's the question this morning. And on this Thanksgiving Sunday morning, it is my desire to add to the number of those who take things with gratitude. Why? Because, first of all, it's the right thing to do, but also because it's the profitable thing to do. Now, it's profitable in the sense that a man who lives in a state of perpetual gratitude is the man who lives in a constant state of happiness and goodwill. He's really kind of built a barricade for himself. A barricade against depression. He faces life joyously and confidently because he's aware of the mercy that's streaming on him from heaven and from his fellow men as well. It's good to give thanks not only in season but all the year through. And Jesus is our example in this as he is in all things. Jesus was constantly giving thanks. In the words of Scripture that we have read this morning, we underscored these two words of Jesus. Jesus gave thanks. Now you say, well, Jesus owned everything. He was, after all, the Son of God and all the rest and could do mighty miracles and the multiplication of loaves and fishes and raise the dead and all the rest. Yes, but the Word says Jesus paused and gave thanks. And if you read the story of Jesus, you'll discover that those two words characterized his life. Jesus gave thanks. Now, I would be the first to admit this morning, it isn't always easy to be thankful. How can you be thankful when sickness comes or disappointment or tragedy? It isn't easy, but it is possible. Oh, I don't mean to be thankful because you're sick, but to be thankful that God's mercy continues to make you triumphant in spite of your illness or disappointment or tragedy. Now, I don't mean you should try to be thankful because you're sick. I read of a little girl whose family custom it was to say their word of thanks at the dinner table when they were through, before they left the table. And on this particular occasion, Mother had, among other things, made a beautiful bowl filled with lovely green spinach. It was a big hit with the kids. Mother had worked kind of hard to prepare this rather special spinach casserole and did her best to convince her little girl that she ought to eat it. The little girl despised it. Didn't like it at all. But Mother said, "You're going to eat it." And she did. Well, when she was finished, she said, "Now may I be excused?" The mother said, "Not until you've given thanks." She said, "I don't have anything to give thanks for." The mother said, "Well, you can just sit there then until you think of something." That has a tendency to make our minds work a little better than they ordinarily work. You sit there until you do think of something. Pretty soon a little voice said, "Thank God I'm not sick. Now can I get down?" That's not the kind of thanksgiving in adversity I'm talking about this morning. It's more like the one who wrote, "The mature Christian will thank God even in the heaviest and most desolating trouble. He'll thank Him that though God did not lead him into sickness, He is not deserted when he is in sickness. That though he cannot see it as yet, he has faith to believe that somewhere there is mercy at the heart of it, or good that can come out of it, that it is indeed only another of the all things that work together for good, even to them that love God." And the prayer of thanksgiving at such a time may indeed be what the Scriptures call a sacrifice of thanksgiving, an adoring adventure of faith, believing in defiance of the God-denying look of things. The Christian will be able to offer this, not easily, but definitely. And the sacrifice of thanksgiving will be precious in God's sight. We all need to thank God that those times which strain faith so hard come only occasionally in life. For the most part, we travel a rather sunlit road. And when we're unaware of the love of God, it is often because we have not looked for it. To see the evidence of God's mercies, all you need do is look. And I want to look at some of them on this Thanksgiving Sunday. Let's begin with the common blessing, so commonly overlooked. The good earth that provides us with more food than we need so that we can help supply the food needs of other countries of the world. For those who toil in the fields to produce our harvest. For whatever measure of health we enjoy today. Whenever I go to a nursing home and witness the severe physical plight of many of its residents, those with respiratory diseases, those with crippling arthritis and other life-sapping illnesses, and walk down those halls, I come away with a renewed determination to never complain about anything again. And if you don't have anything to be thankful for this morning, I'd suggest that on the way home you stop by the Indian Hills Nursing Home and walk down the corridor. And you'll find you have much for which to be thankful for very quickly. We who are here this morning have been so blessed, every one of our days ought to be covered with gratitude, thanking God for the common blessings commonly overlooked. The smile of a friend, the love of family. Oh, just the love of your family. Do you know that every night of the week I always anticipate going home? Always look forward to that moment of going home? Home to the love of three wonderful children and a precious and ideal wife. But how often do we take our daily blessings for granted when they ought to be taken with gratitude? Yes, we need to thank God for the common blessings so commonly overlooked. But let's also be thankful for the special blessings, even though they are all too soon forgotten. Special blessings? Yes, we've had them. Every one of us. You may not have recognized them as such at the time, but they were. And chances are you did recognize them at the time, but you forgot them so soon. One has said, God never gives a blessing just for the hour. Every special blessing is not only for the hour itself, but for the future. It's a pledge. It is as though God were to say, I'll do this for you now, and then you will always know that you are the object of my love. You might have been calm and confident in the presence of new trouble if you had remembered vividly the old deliverance. If you'd kept it fresh in mind and been able to say, the God who delivered me then didn't deliver me then to desert me now. But because we forget so soon, we are afraid when new dangers face us and seem to forget we have a loving Father in heaven who has never failed us. John Newton wrote, His love in time past forbids me to think He'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. I read of one great Christian who was in a mood of deep depression one day. She seemed to have forgotten for a while the many deliverances, the many times that God had granted her help in times past. So God's Spirit moved upon her, and the Spirit said to her, When did I ever fail thee? I am today what I have always been. And it would probably help us to make a note of our special blessings. It might help us remember them. I read of a missionary who used to write down every special blessing and every answer to prayer. At the end of a year, he would assess his answers, and he always got about 87 to 90% of his prayers answered. They'd ask him about, well, what about the balance? What about the rest of them? Well, he'd say, in regard to those things that didn't get answered, for some purpose known to my Father, the answer had to be no or wait. But what a source of encouragement it would be to all of us to leap through the pages of a blessings book. To just make a blessings book. And be able to recount the many times God gave us a special blessing, a special answer to prayer. It would help us this morning. It would help the most blessed people in the history of civilization to be more thankful. And I encourage you this morning to make a practice of thanking God for His goodness to you and thanking those also by whose hand the blessing came. It does people good to be thanked. It's amazing what you'll do for others as well as your own soul if you'll just remember to thank others for the kindness to you. Now this Thanksgiving, for the first time in a long time, we're hearing a lot of talk about recession, depression, all kinds of economic problems worldwide. And thinking about that in these days, I was reminded of the account taken from back in the Great Depression in America when things were just at the worst. A group of men sat in a room talking over the sad state of affairs, and one of the men was a minister, William L. Stidger. And he was from the School of Theology in Boston. And the conversation about the Depression was rather morbid, and finally the minister said, you know, Thanksgiving Day is coming, and I have to preach on Thanksgiving Sunday. I want to say something affirmative. What can I say that is affirmative in a period of world depression like this? But then he began to think what some others in our land need to think. He began to think to himself of the blessings he had had in life and the things for which he was truly thankful. He remembered the woman who had taught him in school and of whom he'd not heard for many years. And although it was years ago, he remembered that she'd gone out of her way to put a love of poetry in his heart. And Stidger had loved poetry all of his life. So he sat down and wrote a letter of thanks to his old teacher. Soon he received a reply. It was written in the feeble scrawl of the old and the infirm, and it began, My dear Willie. He was thrilled about that. He was over 50 years of age, bald, a professor, a minister, Dr. Stidger, he was used to being called. He didn't think there was anybody left in the world who would call him Willie. But the letter read, My dear Willie, I cannot tell you how much your note meant to me. I'm in my 80s, living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely, and like the last leaf of autumn, lingering behind. You will be interested to know that I taught in school for 50 years, and yours is the first note of appreciation I ever received. It came on a blue, cold morning, and it cheered me as nothing has in many years. Stidger was not prone to sentimentality, but he wept over that note. And he then thought of the other people who had been kind to him. And he remembered one of his old bishops who had been most helpful at the beginning of his ministry. The bishop was in retirement and had recently lost his wife. Stidger wrote a belated letter of thanks to the bishop. And this was the reply. "My dear Will, your letter was so beautiful, so real, that as I sat reading it in my study, tears fell from my eyes, tears of gratitude. Then before I realized what I was doing, I rose from my chair and called my wife to show it to her. Forgetting for a moment that she was gone. You will never know how much your letter has warmed my spirit. I have been walking about in the glow of it all day long." Need we say anything more? Wouldn't it be a great and Christian deed for all of us to make a practice of thanking people? It is pleasing to God, for He often sends His special mercies by the hands of other people. A few days ago, I received a letter in my office from a graduate of our college. She had been back over the homecoming activities. She'd been off in graduate school. She wrote me to tell me that since she'd been away, things had not gone too well for her spiritually. And she'd kind of gotten away from God. But I guess it was 2 weeks ago, Sunday night, while she was here, she came to the altar and gave her heart to Jesus Christ and was telling me the thrill and the joy that she had in serving Jesus. It hadn't been a very good morning. But when I got that letter, it turned out to be a great day. Yes, give thanks. Give thanks. We have talked about the common blessings commonly overlooked. We have talked about the special blessings soon forgotten. But finally, let's talk about the greatest blessing. Tragically ignored. What is the greatest blessing? Oh, there's no doubt about that. Paul was quite a master of words, and he seldom found that they failed him, but there was a subject on which words fell short. And on one occasion, when it came to his mind, he said, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." Paul said there's no adequate way to describe this gift. It's unspeakable. What was this unspeakable gift the Father had given us? The gift of Jesus Christ. He was the unspeakable gift. Paul said, above all else, we are thankful for Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought what your life might be like if it hadn't been for Jesus? I believe in my life that every good thing has come from God. It is God who gives the best things in life. My life's partner, my happy home, the love of my children, the joy of service, they have all come as smaller gifts in the hand of the unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ Himself. And I know this morning that His blessings are not only personal to me, but I have seen His mark
in your lives too. I have seen his mark in the life of this church, in the life of this college, in the life of this community. The evidence of Christ's blessings are everywhere one will look. His greatest blessing, personal salvation, is still the greatest force on earth for good. But yet I must confess to you this morning that millions who know of him ignore him. They deny his worldwide and all-time significance, and as one has said, they assert that this world belongs to us, who never called it into being, nor understand how it works. They spurn the unspeakable gift as a figment of our child's mind. I say to you this morning, be wiser than they are. At this time of thanksgiving, be thankful for more than our riches. Thank God for his unspeakable gift, in whose hand every other precious thing comes as well. You know, one of the worst moments for an atheist is when he feels thankful and has no one to thank. Thank God we are not in that position this Thanksgiving Sunday morning. We thank God for every good and perfect gift. But most of all, we thank him for his unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I close with this truth for the season. Right here in the Kansas City area, there is a little girl. Her name is Teresa. She's a patient in a home for disadvantaged children. Among her other problems, Teresa is blind. The other day, one of the therapists was working with her, sitting on her bed. They were making potholders together. And when the therapist finished hers, Teresa took it in her hands and felt it carefully. And finally she said, "Oh, that's so pretty. What color is it?" The therapist said, "Why, Teresa, it's blue." "Oh," she said, "blue. Blue is my favorite color." The therapist said, "Teresa, tell me something. You can't see colors. How can blue be your favorite color?" Teresa said, "Well, on those days when I'm home and the sun is shining and it's warm and nice outside, my mother takes me out to sit in the grass. And I feel so warm and so good. Those are my favorite days. I asked my mother one day, 'What color the sky was on those days?' And she said, 'Blue.' That's how I know blue is my favorite color." When that therapist told me that little story, I felt so ungrateful. If a little blind girl with so many other physical problems could be thankful for a blue sky she couldn't even see, how much greater should be my spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude every day of my life. I do not want to be guilty of taking life for granted. I want to take it with gratitude. The Word says, Jesus, even Jesus, gave thanks. During this Thanksgiving season and all the year through, may we all take time to give thanks. Dear Jesus, we are a blessed people this morning. Probe us, prod us, admonish us, do what you must to make us a thankful people. Thankful for common blessings so commonly overlooked. Thankful for special blessings so soon forgotten. But thankful most of all for the unspeakable gift so often tragically ignored. May we be among those who refuse to take life for granted. May we instead receive it humbly and with gratitude. Amen.